Welcome back to Weekly Wings, your go-to podcast from DroneLife.com. I'm joined here today with Samuel Stansberry, Terry Neff. I am Paul Rossi. We appreciate you tuning in. As always, we got a great episode of Weekly Wings coming your way. We're going to be diving into some entertainment right out the bat, looking at what Universal Studios is doing in Florida. We're going to be talking a little military technology, bird drones, the type of stuff that really makes people who already thought every bird was a drone really believe that every bird is a drone. We will be going over to Switzerland, talking about their pretty monumental news that came out regarding countrywide drone-in-a-box adoption. And we'll be looking at some heavy lift drone technology and ending up the episode discussing some regulatory advancements by Sensis in the beyond visual line of sight space. So we got a really great episode. How is everybody doing? Terry, how are you doing? You excited?
Doing fantastic. It's a good Saturday. Nothing note here for me.
Yeah, putting in your wagers.
I'm a reformed man. No more gambling.
No more. Must have been it. Yeah, last week it was like a guarantee. He had this.
I don't even want to talk about it, man.
Yeah, that parlay guarantee that was sent over. Samuel, how are you doing, Samuel?
Doing well.
Better than Terry.
A little bit better than Terry. Comparatively good. But
I'm doing fantastic, man.
I mean, Terry's doing fantastic. I did want to make sure that's clear. But I guess when it comes to the gambling side, I guess if you're not gambling, you're not losing. And if you're not losing, then I guess you're winning, right?
We'll go with that. But yeah, I'm excited about today's episode, especially bringing in some more Epic Universe news. They've appeared in the past with their light shows, and now it looks like they're doing some more aerial stuff. So excited to talk about that and see what they're bringing to the table. Speak of the devil.
So I'll bring that up. I'll bring that up now. I'll let you go ahead. And if the volume here is too loud, let me know. Hopefully for the folks on the video tuning in here, we'll be able to keep
long been rumored for this land.
Keep this playing,
but our audio will have has Samuel been spotted explain.
Whoa,
over the
that?
Isle.
I'll turn it down a little bit.
Video Annie and shared on social media and
what
YouTube
is that, Samuel?
Seems to show a flying dragon drone.
I was going to say, there we go. We have over. It looks like we actually have a dragon in the sky.
Universal says on their official website for Epic Universe,
we have some
that you may even
patents get from Universal that have drones that will be flying over one of their theme park islands. And I just think that's actually insane. And they're doing this in a great way that it's completely safe. They're not flying over people. They're using a lot of perspective techniques to make sure that it looks like it's flying over you. But of course, the way they've laid out their land, they have a dedicated flight path. So it's going over this selected wooded area through backstage lots for employee members only specifically. And it's thorough. It's great. It looks like they actually, you can see the highlighted flight route and the way that it'll fly over the area. But it's looking really cool that, I don't know. I was watching House of the Dragon last night and I saw this clip on YouTube and I'm like, oh, wow, this is, that's kind of scary. That's so cool, but it's so crazy and scary. But yeah, that's awesome. And I just kind of want to go ahead and share that. We also have another video too to kind of showcase. This is a longer video. This appeared in my algorithm, but they're making crazy progress on this theme park, and it looks like they're adapting drone technology with the light shows and now drone dragons, which never thought it'd be something I'd say. But I looked into the patent that they're using, and I couldn't find anything that really shows a good diagram of what it is, but I can imagine it's a fixed wing with a skin on it or something, because like it also appears the wings flap though, so I'm still trying to kind of wrap my head around what's going on here. But yeah, you can see in this video there is a dragon flying in the Orlando area.
HBO needs to step their game up. They need to make an amusement park with multiple drone dragons. I would go to that.
Yeah, it's,
I would travel for that.
You want to go to Dragonstone, Terry?
Let's go to Dragonstone.
Yeah.
And it's hey, when you, I don't know about fixed wing, not your typical quad, the tail's moving, the wings are flapping. It's, I'm just waiting for the fire to come out. Cause, yeah, you know how we've seen the pyrotechnic drone. So where's the, you know, the actual fire breathing that will come next? But you made a great point in the video that if we close this out here, you pointed out how in the video they share some pretty good information that really seems to make sense from a safety standpoint, how they've highlighted, you know, this isn't just going to be flying over the park where the general public is walking. All these big theme parks have their backstage areas where all the cast and crew is able to move about. And it seems like they've identified that there's a lot of staging area. And if the dragon's flying in that, it's going to look like it's kind of in that background with the park in the foreground, as you mentioned. This isn't in, this is, I don't know.
It kind of snuck up on me.
Talking light shows, drones.
Yeah, I was going to say, is like they mentioned a patent back in October 2023. And I'm like, yeah, sure, drone, dragon, whatever. That's okay, sure, whatever. But then I saw this video and I'm just kind of like, that's crazy. Like, how did they do that? And someone mentioned like all the Disney Imagineers up and left and just went to Universal to work. So I'm kind of like, you know, I can see that. Especially with this crazy technology they're implementing.
What's so is, I'm sure this isn't the first time it's flown. It's almost like this thing probably flew somewhere, rural areas, a lot of, you know, initial flights where there just was no people seeing it. And now they finally, I would guess, got it to a point where they're like, all right, now we'll bring it to Orlando. We know once you put it up in that densely populated area, you know, it's going to be
it's
seen.
There. Yeah. I can only imagine, though. Video.
It's got to be over 50.
I was going to say, I can only imagine being the person out there, like the one lone person out in the wilderness, and you see a flying dragon. That would be quite the story, huh?
Yeah. and then it's got to be over 55 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a good photo right there. You're not just operating this under part.
There was a good little...
What's that?
I don't know if that was just a statue or if that's part of the animation. I think that's just part of the statue.
That's legless.
That's just a...
You mean toothless,
Terry? A statue
Terry?
Of toothless.
Yeah.
The toothless. Nah, sorry. I said legless.
His rider.
Legless.
My
that's
bad.
Like...
yeah.
Is it? Legless
is
also...
His rider is legless, but that's not his name.
Oh, leg.
he lost a leg. But
what is that?
Toothless, I think, right?
The Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
The Lord of the Rings. The Legolas was the elf.
I thought he literally meant legless, not Legolas. My nerd showing.
Oh. Legolas. But yeah, that's a statue they're talking about. They're covering everything, which is pretty cool. But it's got to be over 55 pounds, so you're not just operating under traditional part 107, you know, potentially 44807. And then I don't know if that was like 400 feet. Are they getting authorization to go up to 500 or 600? That's it's really interesting stuff. I could imagine how neat it would be to be a part of the the team making all that happen. But also all the excitement, and you can't share it. You know, you go to work every day, you're seeing all this really cool stuff happening and you can't talk about it. So I'm sure once the park opens and, you know, we'll probably get to see and learn even more about the drone dragon.
I would like to say something. You mentioned potentially having fire come out of it. I don't know if that would be a great idea because, I mean, it's going over multi-million dollar buildings. It's got to, I mean, some of them are hard to access. You know, they're tall, they're big. They probably could have added it, and they're like, it's not worth the risk. Their insurance company said no or something.
I think Universal actually, well, specifically the Orlando area, actually has a, you need a special permit to build a building at a certain height, and especially within the parks, within the line of, I'm not sure if it's the line of sight, but after a certain height, you need to put a beacon on top of your highest point or at a certain height, there needs to be something for traffic to be able to identify that it's so high. So I think that's could come into play with the height that it flies at. There's also other factors with, I can imagine there's a no fly zone or some type of NOTAM there, you know, not a no fly zone, but a NOTAM per se.
Yeah, around the parks, in general, around the parks, just because they don't want people showing up and trying to fly their drone. And the other thing is there's a degree of, like, even now as they're building the park, that video where it's like, look at this. I mean, they're covering and they're hiding things because they don't want, like, they're spending. And then the other thing I saw there is, like, look how much money is being spent. This massive park is just being spent on, like, painting, the design, all these different statues being carved. It's, and then they want people to walk in on day one and to really have no idea what they're going to see. So they're wrapping the statues up. They're trying to remain competitive, and they even don't want the other, like a Disney or, you know, competitor to see, oh, what are they doing that's going to be coming out? Because if we can announce a week ahead that we're doing a flying dragon, then, you know, we're gonna win. To go back to Terry's point about the fire, I kind of like agree where if you go to your, like your, think about how many lawyers Universal has, right? In order to get something done, flying drone dragon, you know, over certain areas, you're having to detail everything. We're going to fly it over here the same way. They're communicating to the FAA. Their lawyers are looking at it under a similar microscope. So if you're like, well, the dragon's never really flown before at the park, we want to start out with fire. And they're like, yeah, how about we just, you know, because in order to have it shoot fire, you got to have that tank with that combustible fuel. So then even if the fire mechanism works, if the dragon comes down, that is a hazardous material. So I think give it a year. Let's get some reliability. Let's get some successful flights in. And then I think after they can do that, it might open up the door for like, hey, yeah, we have X number of flights, flight hours, the vehicle's safe. And hey, let's increase the risk a little bit and spray fire. And then what you could do is you could sell these to farmers and you could just replace the material and the chemical and just put like some agriculture spraying, and farmers will have dragons.
What a
shit you're going we're living in the scarecrow direction. Like no birds will want to be in the area because, I mean, it's a dragon.
Yeah, we don't need a scarecrow. Yeah, we're going to scare all the sheep away. You're like, hey, how did you get your sheep to all stay over here in this field? I have my drone dragon fly over there in that field, and it just scares them all over to this side. But that's kind of weird because I guess dragons would come first because bears and lions and tigers still exist. So we've talked in the past, right, about how the zoos are just going to have like robot rhinoceroses. And so you think with the dragon, I thought we'd get bears first, and we kind of do, just not in the zoos. But seeing a dragon get unleashed, it makes sense because dragons just don't exist. So we're, this is not just bringing something to life. This is bringing something that doesn't even exist. It may not, I don't even know, right? Here I am talking about dragons like they used to exist in the sense of like Game of Thrones, right? Did these kinds of dragons really exist, or was it more of a pterodactyl-like being?
Hmm. It's yeah, I'm still, I don't know. I still have the video kind of playing in the background and I'm just kind of like, wow, that's crazy. But I think I'm going to have to go there at some point and send a video back to us or share it on, here on the podcast for my own eyes, but see it in person one day.
Well, like you're going to go, you should go down there and you should get some like firsthand footage.
I like that idea.
See if you can get anything better than what's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I go scope it out?
I'll go with you, Samuel. We'll go do that. We'll
make another place trip. Added to the, Orlando the podcast road trip.
Yeah, the big Tecumseh, Sherman Tecumseh tree, right? What was that one? General.
You mentioned Asheville with the space Sherman. Debris. I guess that site's not quite there now, though.
Yeah.
And so looking at some tech stuff here, I mean, this was pretty big tech. And I guess staying on this theme of flying animals, what are we bringing up right here, Terry?
So basically there was, I don't know if it was a leaked video or if they intentionally released it, but it was like a Chinese like commando squad. They were spotted using a drone that is shaped and looks like a bird. I mean, this has unlimited reconnaissance abilities, if you think about it. I don't know how anybody with an untrained eye could ever tell that was a camera, but this is going to go well into the there's a like a TikTok trend where there's just people don't think birds are real, so this just helps that theory, unfortunately. So we'll get some more of that. It's like the flat earth stuff. You can turn that down. It's insane, and it looks very compact as well. I mean, it does look like the bird is like having a stroke, but still, you're never gonna be able to just look up and be like, oh, that's a robot, you know.
I mean, that fools the naked eye though, just seeing it fly. I mean, that's a weird bird, but I mean, it's flying, you know. That's, it looks like a bird.
That's a bird.
He might just be having a hard day.
Yeah, dude, he drank the wrong kind of water. Drank a little antifreeze before he went up.
Poor guy. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And where'd that pop up for you? I'm just kind of curious.
I think I seen it on TikTok.
Okay.
First. And then I looked it up on Google. Yeah. But very interesting stuff coming out of China. I'm sure they have other stuff.
I can imagine. Did the video show how it lands? I don't think I saw that. I didn't know crash, if it had any of those cool. What's that?
I said crash landing. It just hits the ground as hard as it can.
And this is an article that was referenced in the one that you had shared, Terry, of the CIA working on some drone birds with developing a satellite relay program. I mean, this is a potentially old document that just randomly pulls up. But that's interesting, having these like things flying around, relaying information. But what's crazy is a bird flew into the window at our house like 3 days ago, killed itself.
It was a drone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. I was out of the town, so I just got a picture of a dead bird.
No context.
It was a threat? I don't.
What?
I said it was a threat.
Did you have context to the dead bird picture prior? Or was you a dead bird?
Well, the dead, no. I just saw, and here's a video of not necessarily the bird, but just a single prop, readily, easily deployable. But it seemed like there was a video, and this is just like bits and pieces of it. And this thing goes in and like explodes, I think. Yeah. So there was this video that kind of like was floating around social media where these, you know, Chinese special operatives were kind of showing off all this new technology.
Every time China shows off something, the U.S. always has an answer for it usually. So I'm sure we'll have something insane coming out, like a bird with fur on it or feathers on it, and it's too realistic. It'll happen within the next month. They probably like already hired a team for it.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what that was showing, is that this here, the Project Aquiline drones by the CIA. So this is already, again, ideas are easy, but execution is everything. So, you know, saying that again, ideas are easy, but execution is everything. So writing something down on paper and saying it would be really neat to have this type of technology, and oh, what if this existed? But then when you see the videos of, you know, these operatives here coming out of the water and doing all this, you know, stuff, seeing is believing. And so, but the one thing when it comes to military tactics is, like, it's not about posting it on social media for the general public to see. It's communicating strength at the right place and at the right time. So I think that China's really good at, like, they'll put something like this out, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they've got the best stuff. Look how great their military is. Well, what do we have? And it's all over TikTok, right? Well, who owns TikTok? So how does this end up on people's For You page? Because they put it there. So it's neat. It's cool. And then when you match that up with the stuff here, like, I don't know if it's going to let me play this, like, here you go, this thing just drops, boom, drone, right?
You're not sharing your screen.
Which screen are you? Sure,
I'm not seeing it.
Just looking at your face right now.
All righty. Yeah, you see it.
We see it now, yeah.
So maybe we didn't see any of those, but like all these things here, did you guys kind of see these ones? Previously,
I'm
not.
So
just all these videos, right, where they're showing off, and this is what just recently come out. This thing just flies over and just pops right out of somebody's hand, and then it's an explosive device. So our general public sees this video that was like 2 minutes long. It gets put on, you know, folks' For You pages, and we're like, oh, look at this, look at that. But if the U.S. military was showing off these capabilities, it would be questioned. It would be, you know, scrutinized. It's this back and forth, you know, sense. But this was the video, like these things. Here's just a drone dropping explosives, but these become easily detectable.
You can mute that.
You can see the you know, in the military arena, you're not really disguising yourself, so it is kind of scary if there's like what looks like a flock of birds, and then all of a sudden it's not a flock of birds. But the advantage is if you have a standard drone and you're flying in these areas, that might be seen as a threat. So if you're doing like long range power line inspections, that drone could be detected by others as some sort of threat. Whereas if you make it look more like a bird itself, you know, maybe it blends in more with the environment and it's less, it's like the cell towers that people turned into trees in order to make the cell tower look less like a cell tower and more like the natural.
Those don't work. I don't know if you've ever seen one in person, but they do not look convincing.
I think it might be a little too tall. They're trying.
It kind of looks like a third grader just went to like Michael's and just like wrapped it and stuff. I don't know. That's my opinion on it.
Like popsicle, like it looks like a popsicle stick art just sticking up. Every tree around it 60 feet tall, and then here's this like 130 foot tall pine tree.
That's like a cheap Christmas tree. That's what it looks like.
It's perfectly exactly straight. It like. And so really, really interesting, right, to see the drones themselves, the vehicles starting to actually mimic other animals or creatures bringing some sort of, I don't know, mythological or like very high entertainment, a dragon, right? So a drone is now being turned into a dragon. Drone is a bird. So it's pretty interesting.
It's surreal, I would say.
And it goes back to the cat. So if no one's ever seen the drone cat photo or meme or picture, like you can just Google drone cat. And I believe somebody had taken a dead cat and like embalmed it and then built out a drone. And it literally looks like a flying cat. It's pretty wild.
You haven't seen that, Samuel?
I mean, that's now, and I'm like mortified. This is like terrifying. It's a quadcopter, so they use all of its paws to hit each motor. Is there a tail? This is messed up, man.
Maybe we'll get a flying bear for Paul. It's like a heavy lift drone, make it massive.
Just Google quadcopter cat.
Oh my god. Why'd I look this up?
That's terrible, man. They should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm like impressed with the skill that it took to do it, but like it's not how, but why? Why did you do it? There it is.
There's an ostrich. Yeah. It's pretty wild. It's a quad cat.
How long has this been a thing? Like, when did this meme? I'd never heard of it.
So it's like a taxidermied cat. It's a real cat, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not even a meme. It's like a real thing.
That's disrespectful.
This was 2022.
Oh my god.
I could have swore there was one on a Phantom 4 like a long time ago. I don't know why I'm thinking that. I remember seeing the Phantom 4 and a cat attached to it.
For all you cat lovers tuning in.
I mean, that's
pretty interesting though, because if you love your cat so much, that's... What are you going to chase with that? Young children?
Yeah, I was going to say you can chase mice away, but I mean, that anything else scares them away as is. This is just going to scare the local neighbors away.
Yeah.
I turned
the flying mouse and then get the flying cat and have Tom and Jerry, but in the air. That's what we can have.
It's unhinged.
I turned my beloved cat Orville into a drone because he loved birds. Everyone's horrified. But I don't care.
Can we lock him up? Is that possible? It's a crime against humanity.
Bart Jansen.
Bro, I love my cat. I swear. I could never.
The cat was ran over by a car.
Hmm. Oh, he's an artist. Okay, this makes more sense.
Dude, that is,
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. Yo, look at this. His business is turning pet animals into flying machines. Wow. I never
went
this far.
So he's done maybe multiple cats then. He's got a drone fleet of dead cats.
This guy's on the sticks over here. That looks like it might be Bart.
I'll go up to Asheville. I'll hunt a bear, and then we'll send it to him for him to make into a bear drone for you, Paul, all right? We'll get this done.
This was unexpected on the podcast.
Yeah, this is a little, we didn't entirely mention that, and we probably didn't do a good disclaimer for anyone who was, we're not going to click this link. Turned their pet golden retriever into an ornamental rug. That's,
What country is this as far as we know?
Where they...
Is this America?
It's got to be America.
The Dutch taxidermist turned his dead cat into a remote-controlled drone known as the Orvalcopter. But his cat died in 2012. So this article here came out, it says 22, but I'm pretty sure I'd seen this like more years ago than two.
Well, the motors look kind of old, don't they? Well, like older-ish, or the props, I should say. But I mean,
yeah, definitely some of that much more early DIY type stuff. Well, we took a little side detour there in order to check out Orville and Bart and what they were doing and bring Samuel up to speed with the cat copters. And also anybody else who happens to tune in, and any of our regular listeners for the Weekly Wings podcast who also were not up to speed. And it is interesting because if you're a cat lover, you may or may not like that. And if you're not a fan of a cat, you might like or not like that. But that is not a drone that I will be adding to my fleet, nor will I be turning any pet of mine in drone. Quadcopter, octocopter, hexacopter, octocopter, nothing. And so now from Dutchland taxidermist, transitioning a different location overseas to Switzerland. In Switzerland just really remains a hotbed for UAS activity, almost one of those areas kind of competing globally to possibly be recognized as like the Silicon Valley of drones on a global scale. This article here, it's funny, Samuel, I think you shared this about a day before I'd ended up also seeing it, was Nokia and Swisscom Broadcast are deploying 300 drones in a box across Switzerland. So also when I saw this news, my sister-in-law is born in Switzerland and is a Swiss citizen. And her nephew was in town visiting. His birthday was yesterday. But I had mentioned to her 19-year-old nephew how, Switzerland's doing all this crazy stuff with drones. And, he's a Swiss resident. Like, if you can travel to the U.S. and you're familiar with this country, and if you like drones, there could be huge opportunities because we know international companies want to be in the U.S. market. And again, Switzerland's doing huge things. So this is, and seeing this, I was like, look, see, told you. And so it looks like they're going to have drones as a service. So the purpose of this is the companies together are going to deploy 300 drone in a box units aimed at enhancing safety and operational efficiency for public safety and industrial use cases. The company that deploys these will then also be responsible for operating the drone. So if a call ever comes in, company pilots will operate the system, and then the video feed will go to the local police department or a state agency. If there's a commercial business or public utilities that need to be inspected, they will be able to leverage these drones in order to, increase the efficiency of the public infrastructure, whether that's roads, bridges, potentially cellular energy. And having 300 spread across Switzerland, that's really neat.
Notably,
what do you think about this, Terry? Sam,
go ahead.
I have one question. I wonder how they're deciding where to put them. Like, I wonder if there's like a checklist they have to meet to like have enough uses in one area. Because I mean, there's only 300 of them. I know Switzerland's not like huge, but these only can cover so far.
Kind of asking more so urban or more so like
safety.
Rural.
Yeah, like, do you decide to put it next to a big power line area, or, like, do you decide to put it in the middle of a town? I mean, I know it's weird.
Well, notably, I kind of wanted to point out that the drone in the box itself is, it looks like a quadcopter with two GPS antennas and a parachute container. Is that what we're looking at, as far as we can tell? That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it looks like a quad. It might be a hexacopter. Like, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6.
Yeah, but I see two motors in the back.
I do see a parachute canister, and then I see two antenna on either side, and then a significant looking payload. Oh, here we go.
Oh, there it is.
So the 6 hexacopter motors, lightweight, you know, very, you know, it looks like pretty much everything you need is there. And anything extra isn't. Dual GPS, as Samuel mentioned, with what looks to be, you know, RTK capabilities. But, you know, the system looks pretty solid. The payload looks like
it's a pretty drone, too. It actually looks nice.
300 units. And I mean, they're just doing... they're doing crazy stuff. Not crazy stuff. They're doing things well. Switzerland. I was trying to gauge. It really isn't that big. So, Terry, I'll show this here. Like, 300 is a lot. Here's Switzerland. And then you got to remember, you have a lot of area here where you're...
uninhabitable.
Uninhabitable, less calls, and then anything that does happen, you're probably going to have, like, you know, something happens in the mountains. You know, what is a drone? You know, that's not necessarily the low-hanging fruit, and you may have helicopters and other systems in place. But as I zoom out, you can see how Switzerland sizes up to...
I was going to say, like, North Carolina almost. Is that not accurate?
What did you say?
This map is not size accurate. Europe is very small compared to the U.S. I forgot. Like, there's a website you can go onto to, like, compare them, but I don't know the name of it.
What the hell do you mean this is not size accurate?
It's not size accurate. That's exactly what I'm saying. This is not a size accurate map. I don't know how to explain it better, but you cannot compare France to Texas because that is not size accurate. It's warped.
Okay, so then for fun, let's see
looking it up, man.
Yeah, look it up.
Size map.
How big
I'm gonna send it to you, man.
Here, watch. How big is Texas? Because it's going to tell us in square miles, and they're about the same size. France is a little smaller than Texas, at least from what I see. So here's Texas. Here's France. France is 213,000 square miles.
Yeah, but you're not getting what I'm saying. I'm saying that the map on Google is not size accurate, so you can't compare the visual of that. I posted a link of it's called the true size of, and you can, like, pull countries and compare them. I'm sorry, it's just something I know.
So if you see here, right, this is France inside the United States.
Yes.
Right. And so it's 213 square miles. Texas is 268 square miles.
Now do Switzerland.
And so if we do Switzerland, Switzerland is 15,000. It is a fraction.
Do North Carolina.
And so how big is... That's what I... Yeah, how big is North Carolina? That's significantly crazy. Bigger. Four times the size. So,
let me share my screen.
So I think that France is might look too big. France might look a little too big. But I was going to say Switzerland almost the size of North Carolina, but no bigger.
No, nah, it's maybe like a third.
And so 53, yeah. About the third of a size. So that to me, when I heard 300, and then if you're like, if you just think, well, so that's not like a country, you know, 300 drones in one country doesn't sound like a lot when you live in the United States. But when we think that Switzerland is one third the size of North Carolina, 300 of these is probably going to be a significant footprint. And they're going to go and they're going to say, all right, where do we have the most calls for police and public safety? Let's put them near there. All right, where do we have the critical infrastructure? And then potentially the idea is you might be able to use the same bases and just upgrade the drone or the battery. And so instead of adding more, it might be
if do you see my
yeah that's cool yeah topic.
So you see how it warps the US, so this is the US compared to over in Europe, and then this is Switzerland right here, so this is an accurate representation of what Switzerland would look like over North Carolina or South Carolina. And then if you go over to Texas, it's barely the size of Dallas. So that's all.
And so it's it just makes you wonder, like, the ability of a smaller country to be able to kind of make decisions. Because when we hear, oh, Switzerland's doing this, well, they're only having to get, you know, X number of people. The chance of, oh, the United States is going to deploy, it'll never happen. It's so much. It's so many people. There's so much area coverage. Hell, even the state of North Carolina, you're never going to see, oh, well, the state of North Carolina is deploying, you know, all these drones in a box. It's the way that you'll see it here in the U.S. is eventually this department will have one, that department, and maybe one day they may, you know, somewhat work together. And then someone like a DOT, they might put some drone in a boxes out on the highways in order to help do bridge inspections and things of that nature. But why don't we have drones on the highway systems for amber alerts? You know, the technology, you know what the make and model of the vehicle is, you know the license plate. Having an aerial asset sitting alongside a major roadways, you know, you already have infrastructure, power, and the things that you would need. And you're going to deploy these in some of the most high-risk situations when time is of the most importance. So I think with that news, it's really exciting. And hopefully we'll see, you know, our agencies and states and governments really adopt this technology the same way others are. But we're also, right, very capitalist, whereas Switzerland is the opposite. So they very much do things as a whole. But looking at cool tech and kind of still staying in the realm of advanced technologies, we see some heavy lift drones being used to do some really cool stuff in the support of wind farms. And Terry, you were pulling some information, or you were calling out some pretty interesting stats here that you had saw on this operation. The Ørsted deploys heavy lift cargo drones at the Borssele offshore wind farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it said it's like 220 pounds, I believe, is how much payload it can carry. So basically a human, or potentially two, depending on how much they weigh.
So we can see the traditional methods, right? These wind turbines here are out in the middle of the water. The only way to access them is by boat. So the boat will, you know, approach the wind turbine, and then individuals are able to go up and down to this kind of, you know, control room by the ladders and stairs inside. Very time consuming.
Yeah, and that's putting a lot of stress. I'm assuming they don't have an elevator, so it's probably the person carrying up a 200-foot tower every time, 100 pounds worth of stuff. So this is definitely going to help them out a ton.
A 70-kilogram drone that can carry up to 100 kilograms.
It's kind of insane, so the drone to be honest.
Specifically... And so that, you've just got motors, right? We looked at the Switzerland drone in a box. You got to have a camera on there, right? You need that high-resolution camera if you're going to do public safety, if you're going to be doing inspections, right? All the data comes from that camera. But if you're delivering things, the camera, less important. Now, weight. So you want to put, you know, battery power. You want to put motors that are going to give you as much excess thrust as possible. So to have a 70 kilogram drone that's then carrying 100 kilograms, that's really solid right there.
I wonder if they're kind of using just the, because I mean, from an operational safety standpoint, I feel like it's one of the most safe places to operate technology like this, is because, like, what's your factors here besides nature, you know? And you're not going to have anyone on the ground that you're going to hit or anything like that. Nice little highlight here. Drone means less work disturbances, as wind turbines do not have to be shut down when cargo is delivered. Like, they chose a very good place to be doing this, but I'm kind of curious what their next step would be. Like, where would they go once they have this kind of more efficient? Even, it seems very efficient now, but just kind of like other practical uses or places, I guess.
And that's what you were saying, is this is one of those, you know, flight operations where you can carry a lot. You can, excuse me, you can take a system that doesn't have, like when we talked about the Dragon, we don't have fire coming out of it because we need to fly it first. We need to just make sure it's safe. It's going to be around people. It's going to be in this more densely populated environment. So it's walk, crawl, walk, run. And crawling means different things depending on the levels of risk. Here, it's like, hey, yeah, throw the 100 kilograms on. Let's get this going. Why? We're flying over water. If something happens, you know, what's the risk to people and property on the ground? It's zero. Oh, okay, that's acceptable. And then what are we doing? Well, we're being more efficient, less shutdown. But this is going to prevent risk, making it safer for the personnel working. And then another layer of the safety is it reduces the amount of trips by boat, which is reducing carbon emissions. These boats going back and forth in order to bring, you know, how heavy is the boat? How much fuel is the boat using? And oh, it's only bringing a piece, 50 kilograms of actual payload. It's like the same thing as moving somebody's McDonald's order for three people in a car. You got a 2,000-pound car, 3,000-pound car moving 8 pounds of food. It's, you know, when we have so much talk on we all have to switch to electric vehicles and we need to do this and we need to do that, but no one's kind of like scratching their head and saying, huh, we need to stop, you know, we don't need to stop anything, but the instant gratification. And so again, drones have demonstrated that they can be both a quick method of delivery, but also a safe and less carbon emitting solution as well.
And then you can charge the drones with the windmill power.
With the windmill power.
Yeah, it's a nice little loop they got going on.
Do we know how long they've been doing this for? I didn't see anywhere on the article if it had been running, like if it was a specific program that had been running 6 months or.
They're deploying heavy for the pioneering move makes a significant leap forward. Heavy lift drones will transport cargo from a vessel to 94 wind turbines.
Giving us a lot of stats.
This operational campaign follows successful cons. What's that?
No, they're just giving us a lot of cool stats.
Operational campaign follows successful concept testing last year at the Hornsea 1 offshore. So it looks like they had successful tests. They did some conceptual testing last year, and based on that, they've decided to really move forward with more of a full operational implementation.
That's cool.
And I was going to say after that, look, if they're bringing 100 kilograms, I'm like, they could deliver. I mean, now all of a sudden they're like, well, we're flying the person.
Toss me on
the maintenance. The maintenance. Yeah.
Gonna,
you've fallen under the 220.
I think you could
220
fit.
Pounds. Yep.
You could we'll fit Samuel, one of me on there
with your tool belt and everything.
Yeah. A little extra, huh?
Might just need a. I don't know if it might still be an unmanned aircraft system if when it's carrying you, you don't have the ability to intervene, right? Because that's what the unmanned system is, any aircraft that can operate without the ability for direct human intervention in flight. So as long as you're just strapped in and you don't have any way to pull the controls, you won't need a pilot certificate. Well, ending this episode here, we've really talked about some really neat things that are not just here in the U.S., but kind of spread across the globe. Things that we'll definitely be seeing happen locally, because everybody's paying attention to what's going on. And if it works there, it could work here. However, in the United States, getting some approvals may take a little bit more time than what we've seen internationally. With that said, Sensus Technologies secures FAA waiver for drone operations over people and moving vehicles. New approval enhances UAS capabilities without the need for visual observers. And we've been seeing a lot of this recently on the Part 135 on the drone delivery side. We've seen it on the 107 for inspection purposes. The drones have proven that they are capable of sustaining flight. They're automated. They're not relying on human beings. The FAA has learned this. A human doesn't have to be constantly pushing the sticks. It's not a car. This isn't a car. You push the gas pedal and you need to constantly give input. These are program missions, whether it's delivery, inspection, security, and the drones. The technology has proven its reliability to make the flights happen, to stay in the air. If something fails, the parachutes deploy. But the risk mitigation associated with detecting nearby aircraft, that is still up in the air. However, what we've seen in controlled airspace in the DFW area, a combination of ADS-B, right? A drone that has ADS-B in, it can see the other aircraft flying around. Now we need that other piece. We need the UTM. We need the drones to talk to each other. We need potentially shielded operations. And so this waiver announced lets the Centero 5, which is an eVTOL fixed-wing drone seen in the picture, conduct flights in areas where people and vehicles are present. This is going to allow for more efficient operations, operating drones over people, right, and moving vehicles. We're not talking huge crowds, stadiums, traffic jams. We're talking about just your general, everyday, normal, small town, urban area, not the heart of Chicago, the areas where these technologies are making a huge difference. So, Terry, What do you think here about what you've been seeing with the beyond visual line of sight? Is it making sense to you? Do you see the pieces coming together?
Yeah, I mean, I see the pieces coming together. I mean, it's always useful to get more approvals to go over people. But like you said, I mean, it's not flying in downtown New York over 500 people at a time. It's just kind of like rural areas, most likely.
Yeah, where a lot of it's just like incidental. You know, it wasn't intentional. When you're flying a power line, you go across this road, there's a car. It's all transitory in nature. These operations aren't just stopping and hovering over intersections. We're talking power lines, transmission lines that cross over, you know, roads where the chance of a car even being in the same location at the same time is almost, you know, 0.0001%. Not putting a drone directly parallel over, you know, I-95 or 85 or, you know, 40. So Sammy, what about you? What do you, is this making sense to you, the way that people are getting the beyond visual line of sight, the operations over people?
I think so, especially considering
in
with
and
it
out
not
of control
just,
their space.
It's not just opening the floodgates to each and everybody, but it's slowly kind of integrating this into a nice and neat process per se, as well as trying to think how many episodes ago it was, but with the new technology inbound, it's kind of like we're going to be able to rely on technology to accurately tell us what is in the area and not just tell us, but show us. So we'll have more tools at our disposal for safety, which totally makes sense why this is kind of opening up for the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, and the other neat piece is these, I'm starting to see that these, the conferences and the symposiums are driving a lot of development, because every time some new big event comes up, whether it's the FAA or private business or the education space, people are wanting to use that as that opportunity to say what's happening. So we just had the FAA and AAM symposium. So we've seen a lot about that. People have been talking and a lot about how there's a clearer picture and path kind of forward. Safety management systems have become a lot more relevant in the drone space, not just being safe, but managing safety, tracking it, safety reports. That's a huge piece that companies that want to do beyond visual line of sight, ops over people and vehicles, they're going to have that built into their organization. And then the collaborative UTM piece. And then we have commercial UAV coming up in 3-4 weeks in Las Vegas. So that'll be another, you know, event where you've got panels, you got people talking about this is what you need to do, this is what you should be doing. So you can't just have panels of the same people and the reps saying, well, this is where we need to be, this is what we want to do. This eventually that talking has to stop, and the people who have listened and followed and, you know, checked the boxes, they're going to get those permissions and authorizations. So it's kind of like this neat cycle of
this is what we're actually doing now. Coming
together at these events. And then you come out and you say something, and sometimes it's this back and forth where private business is trying to get, you know, government folks to say things publicly in order to apply the pressure. And the same thing is the FAA is always bringing folks on, having them speak, engaging, because you want businesses and organizations to publicly commit to safety as well. So it's getting the FAA commit to progress, and then it's industry committing to standards, policies, and practices. And it all happens in real time. So it's really neat. Boy, Labor Day, right? The year's flown by. But another great episode. Episode's flown by. Flying, pun intended. We opened things up. We talked about Universal's new Epic park that they're building. The drone dragon has been seen flying. Not really sure. Did you catch, Samuel? Was that Daenerys? Was that?
They're doing the family friendly approach with the How to Train Your Dragon. So they're not doing any cool Game of Thrones things. But
that wasn't Edmund flying.
Edmund, one of those. Yeah, I'm still catching up on
Chinese
those
Chinese birds. Go ahead. Still catching up.
Yeah, I'm on the season finale. I'm working my way through the end of season two.
All right, on. We talked about bird drones, the videos that the Chinese military is showing off that has people talking. We were in Switzerland again, I think 2 weeks in a row, looking at their, last week it was the hugging drone. This week it was the deployment of 300 drone-in-a-box solutions in order to advance public safety. So really cool. It'll be interesting. When you put 300 drones out across an entire country, you would think that after just maybe a month, you'd probably have some really awesome success stories. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. Because if they put 300 drones across the country and then nothing happens, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So more to come. We'll certainly follow up on that. And then we touched on heavy lift drones being used in order to support the maintenance and even production of wind turbines in hard to reach places. And when we wrap things up, just having a short discussion on beyond visual line of sight and recognizing the success Census had recently obtaining their waiver for ops over people and moving vehicles in combination with their beyond visual line of sight operations. And they are a manufacturer that works very closely with their clients and customers in order to make sure that they're checking the regulatory box as well. So congratulations to Census. Thank you to everybody who tuned in this week. Hope that you learned something. Hope you gained some valuable insights. As always, dronelife.com. Make sure you check it out. Subscribe. Daily newsletter goes out. Great way to stay up to date on the latest news in the drone industry. So again, we appreciate all of our listeners, whether you're tuning in on audio or watching us on YouTube. Samuel, Terry, as always, appreciate your time, attention, and insights to the conversation. Thank you very much, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you. Have a good one.